Hey, welcome to Season 3, Episode 8, also known as Episode 80 of the Retro Game Club podcast. I'm Hugh, and joining me is Lady Gaga's new dog walker, Rob.
Yeah, apparently there was a job opening, and it's funny, people only talked about the dog, not about the man who was shot.
I guess once they said he was going to make a full recovery, then I realized you could now joke about the situation.
Totally, yeah. In fact, I think I saw him on the news today talking. He's fine. He's grateful.
Okay.
But how
are the dogs?
I think they're fine. But it was funny because, I mean, not funny, haha, but funny. It's the world we live in. No. There was like a $50,000 reward to find the dog. Not the guy that shot the dog walker, just to find the dog.
The dogs, and it was 500,000.
500,000. It's so crazy.
I mean, I never realized that, like, dog napping for ransom or whatever these guys were doing was a thing. I guess there's some underground market for this breed of dog because they can't figure out how to make new dogs. I don't know.
I feel like there's a Liam Neeson movie in the making on this.
Yeah, I think you're right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. So other than all that, what have you been up to?
What have I been doing? So I was after we recorded last week, I was looking into the Grand Theft Auto 3 reverse engineer project, trying to figure out why it got taken down. Mm-hmm. And I found at least one article when the project was new, where they're interviewing the people working on it. And it became really obvious to me why this thing would qualify for a takedown letter. They did not reverse engineer GTA in the way that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. What they did is they decompiled the DLLs. So they decompiled the DLLs into assembly, maybe using Ghidra or something, one of our early topics, and then wrote C code or C++ code based on the disassembled code. That is not something you can do. I know it's like this all seems very sort of vague and fuzzy, but that will absolutely get you busted.
Here's how we can explain that in different words. So a lot of people that listen to this podcast use Wine, the Windows emulator. The reason why Wine can exist is because the people that wrote Wine have never seen Windows code. I mean, at least they say.
Right.
They didn't decompile anything. They just like took a guess. It's a guess and check kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I've done projects like that too, where you're trying to recreate something and you don't have the code to it. Now, sometimes this is because like someone at your work lost the code. Like that's a problem. But in that case, I guess you could decompile it. But I mean, I've had other cases where like, you know, we have to move from like one vendor platform to another and I need to, you know, make sure that everything still works the way it used to with the new vendor. And it means having to, you know, create like a mock version of the old vendor you were working with, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really painful. It's not fun at all. I mean, it's kind of fun in like a morbid way. But yeah, I mean, if I was going to take on a project like that, it would not be decompile the code. It would be, you know, try and understand, you know, you basically run the code through your interpreter. It's a really horrible process. I mean, it's a lot of like trial and error. It's a lot of looking at like their data files and figuring out how you might read and parse that. I wrote one Grand Theft Auto hacking tool a long time ago. It was written in Visual Basic 6, so you have an idea how old
yeah,
this tool
that's
is.
Pretty old.
It was to change to edit car stats.
So you can make a car like really powerful?
Yeah, it was actually to make one car really, really slow because I was tired of this one mission that I kept losing.
That's great.
So I edited the car that was the your opponent has in this mission to be really slow and terrible.
Was that the original Grand Theft Auto?
No, this was Vice City.
Wow. What did you edit that on? Like, what system were you playing?
This was on Windows.
Okay.
This was like the 2003 Windows release because I was running Windows 7 or something at the time. Mm-hmm. I guess it wouldn't have been Windows 7 in 2000, whatever year it came out. Well, I didn't play it the year it came out. I played it a couple years later, so it probably was Windows 7.
Nice. That's funny.
And Let's see, what did I put in my notes here? Skyward Sword Remake pre-orders sold out, which I guess is something only Nintendo can do.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that drives me crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're sold out of that. And then East 9, I'm in the last chapter. I guess I won't say a lot more than that. I probably will finish it before the end of the week. Depends. You know, depends what comes up. And then over the weekend, I got really bored because it's, you know, there's nothing to do. And I wrote a program to convert bin audio files to WAVE. So like if you, as I say, like if you've acquired some CD images, I'm not asking any questions where you got these CD images from. Mm-hmm. And it's in bin Q format. Mm-hmm. And you want to extract the audio. It's actually kind of a pain to do that. So I originally looked online and like most of the sites I found said, oh, well, all you have to do is just this really simple thing. Just burn that bin Q file to a CDR and then rip the audio from the CDR. Like, yeah, thanks. It's the worst advice I've ever read. And there's some like tools that are native to Windows that work, but they're vended. You know, they're like, you have to have Windows and you have to pay someone $50. And then I looked at it and saw, I looked at like the Java sound libraries and I'm like, oh, I could write this in a couple minutes.
Other than that, if you weren't a programmer, couldn't you just mount the bin queue and then just rip it that way?
You can't mount bin queue in Linux.
Really?
Yeah, I would have done that.
Oh.
But the nice thing about doing it this way is I can now then, you know, attach it to a batch script that also does like, that then calls like FFmpeg or something to convert to MP3 and it can call ID3 tool. You know, you can like chain together all the things into one process.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a pretty neat little demo app I wrote and really didn't take long. And I guess at some point I would, if I wasn't like almost completely out of hard drive space, I would convert lots of things to MP3 to have some new stuff to listen to.
Are you going to add trippy visual effects while it's ripping?
No, I am not going to do that. This is like command line only.
Oh, I know.
I'm not doing any effects, man. That's about it, man. What have you been up to?
Yeah, it's funny. Right after we recorded last show, Rockstar announced the releasing the HD updates for those GTA games. So there's more incentive for them not to have people playing them in other ways.
Yeah, I think that's probably what triggered them into looking at whether they needed to take these things down, right?
Well, yeah, you see how popular these games are. Like, for example, X-Wing and TIE Fighter. People have hacked that for HD updates. Mm-hmm. You know, now that LucasArts or Games or whatever they called it now is back, maybe they should just release the real thing and let me give them money instead of having to goof around with this stuff, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. But what else? Oh, I did finish East 9. The last chapter is really long.
Okay, good, good.
Really, I'm no spoiler. I won't say any details of the game other than I really enjoyed it. I really came to love the controls and I did see, I forget who it was. I think it was someone on the Giant Bomb podcast described it as anime Avengers, which I could totally see. Like JRPG Avengers.
Okay. Yeah, I saw one review that like compared it to the Power Rangers, which I thought was a little bit of a stretch.
I could see that.
I definitely
don't
see. I mean, I understand like the basic, like I understand why you would start at that point, but they're not really similar.
No. Who's your go-to character? Do you play as Adol mostly?
No, actually, I've been playing as the doll character mostly because I. In these East games, I almost always play as the fastest character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's whipping around all over the place with those knives.
Yeah. Whatever kind of serrated blade she has, yeah.
Yeah.
So who do you go? Who's yours?
I'm not going to say the real name because it'd be a spoiler, but the Ram, Great Ram, whatever she's called. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that powerful weapon.
Yeah, it's a good one for certain fights. Yeah,
a lot of the stuff she says while you're doing special moves is pretty funny. So, but yeah, I beat that, and I've been doing a lot of modern game, and I jumped right into Ghost of Tsushima, and man, that game has got its claws into me. I absolutely love this game because you really get to slow down. It's really if Kurosawa made a video game.
Okay.
Yeah. I was surprised that for 2020 Game of the Year, it didn't win more. But maybe because there are so many games kind of like this. I mean, not exactly like this, but kind of play like it. But yeah. And then right after we record tonight, I am going to watch Playing with Power, the new Crackle special about Nintendo is released today. So I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, I forgot. We just talked about that a week ago. I already forgot it existed.
I think I upvoted it in my news feed, so I've been getting like a daily updates.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so I hope to review that for our next episode. But we don't have too much news this time. Hopefully our last episode was really long, so but we have a lot of great feedback this time. I'm excited to get to as well.
Yeah, actually we do. Yeah. Let's see, we'll start with some news. Unreleased, Rare's unreleased Nintendo 64 game that became Star Fox Adventures leaks online.
Yeah, and before this game was called Dinosaur Planet. And it was going to be Rare's last Nintendo 64 game, but apparently, I think it was Miyamoto, saw it and thought it was very Star Fox and just said like, hey, can this just be the next Star Fox game? Mm-hmm. And so obviously that took a lot of time and it became a GameCube game. And video of this has been released before, but this is the first time that it's been playable. So from, okay. I think this is from the Giga Leak somehow, but they compiled it and you could play it now. And
yeah,
it looks okay. It looks like a good game. A little dark.
Kind of slow.
Yeah. Kind of has the Doom 64 effect where you need a special vision to see anything.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. So I own Star Fox Adventures for GameCube and I have not played it. Is it any good?
Mixed reviews. I have not played it. One of the reason why I know it's mixed reviews is one of the sentences in here pretty much says, you know, I wonder if Dinosaur Planet came out, if it would have gotten reviewed better because it wouldn't have been like the Star Fox license. People wouldn't have cared if it was great. You know what I mean? Just kind of so.
And there are so few like adventure RPG games on Nintendo 64 that it probably would have benefited from that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, probably. The same way Conkers did, you know? So, I mean, I think that was reviewed well. What else do we have going on? Oh, sad news. Another arcade in Tokyo closed down last week. Or it will be closing down on March 21st. Sorry. So if you live in Japan, get to the Taito Station. And, yeah. It's so sad. I have yet to go to Japan. I was going to go this year, but, you know, the way the world is right now, I'm going to give it a year or two. But it's so sad.
They're not allowing visitors from the U.S. yet, are they?
I think America is not allowed to go anywhere. But
that's true. You're barely allowed to go to America, right? Like, I don't think you can go to Hawaii, can you?
I don't think so. I think everyone just goes to Florida now.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me sick of a family member that went to Florida in January.
Great. Well,
and then they wonder why, like, I won't go where I won't see them.
Yeah. So yeah, kind of sad news, but on to very, very cool news. RetroArch now has an open hardware project. It's this USB-C device that is going to allow you to plug in cartridges into your computer and play them with RetroArch. And the first one is Nintendo 64. That is nice. Really cool. Yeah, that is really cool. And you know, I'm glad they started with Nintendo 64 because it's really the system that there's not a lot of great ways to play it. You know, it's a bit harder to emulate. there was no FPGA Nintendo 64 thing out there. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited for this one.
What else here? Oh, Hacker rewrites Race Driving on the Super Nintendo to be considerably better. I think this made the rounds on the internet.
This is impressive.
I definitely saw it in other places. Yeah, so the original game was 4 frames per second. And the new game uses... Now, it's a little bit of a cheat because they're actually using the SA1 chip to achieve this performance improvement.
Yeah, it's what this guy does. It's the same guy that did the Gradius 3 and Super R-Type SA1 upgrades.
I dare say, though, that his port of Race Driving looks better than the arcade version. Better in terms of fun. Like, the arcade version of Race Driving is kind of a slog also.
Totally, yeah, yeah. I could never do the loop in this game, ever. I don't know what's wrong with my brain, but I could never get it right. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense that it's about 7 times faster, because what the Nintendo is, what, 2.8 megahertz, and the SA1 is 10 point something megahertz, plus some extra RAM and stuff. Yeah, I mean, the game would have cost $20 more if they would have done that, but... Probably would have sold better, too.
Yeah, I'm sort of... Like, Hard Driving and Race Driving are not games that are good for console because they're so short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's just not much content in either of them.
There's literally no content.
Pole Position for the 2600 has more content. That's not even a joke.
Yeah, yeah. And a great game, too. And it's more than 4 frames a second.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Pole Position 2, way better than Race Driving. So, yeah, I never was a big fan of these games because they're just not, they're really short and they're not really fun.
This seems like something that should have been on the 32X.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised it wasn't.
Yeah. If you could do like a combo game with both of them on one cartridge, that might almost be worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Might be a fun project for someone that wants to decompile SNES code and convert to 32X, one of the hardest things to program to.
Yeah. There is a Genesis version of Hard Driving. So that's probably a better place to start.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Much better. But apparently, doing this kind of hacking isn't that difficult. I mean, it takes the guy dozens of hours, if not hundreds of hours each time. But the SA1 chip is just a different version, a faster version with more RAM and a few other things, of the chip that's already in the Super Nintendo. So you already know the same assembler. You know, it's just different, I guess, registries and stuff like that. But he did say he hit about 90% of this code, and the code is up on GitHub, right at the bottom of that article.
Intel gets a takedown. there's been a Nintendo 64 minigame hidden inside the Switch game Firewatch.
Yes. Just before this podcast, just before we started recording this episode, I... actually read this one, and I decided not to take it down because it's still kind of cool. It's not an actual Nintendo 64 game. It's a Nintendo 64 inspired game called Forest 64.
Oh.
But still pretty neat that it took people a while to find this one. I guess only one person online found it and posted about it, I think in 2018. But no one really jumped on it till now.
All right, what else? Lost Vikings, Rock and Roll Racing, and Blackthorn are going to be in the Blizzard Arcade Collection. I don't remember Blackthorn as being an arcade game, but it's a very nice-looking game. I have it on 32X.
I'll have to play that one. I've never played. The only one on this I've played is Rock and Roll Racing. It was one of our Game Club games.
Yeah, another early one.
So, that is $20 for 3 games. I don't know. Rock and Roll Racing's a great game. I haven't played the other two, but are they up? I don't know. Is this one you would pick up?
No. Because I think I have... I don't really like the Lost Vikings, and I already own Blackthorn.
So there you go.
Right.
And our next article is actually a related to this one. Now, Blizzard came out and said, don't stream Rock and Roll Racing because you will get taken down.
Yeah. Would that be true for like Crew Ball and Moonwalker too?
Oh, that'd be a good, little test, especially Moonwalker.
Yeah.
Or what about, what's the make my video games?
Well, yeah, those for sure. You would run into a problem. You could do those with no audio, maybe.
But yeah, for people that don't know Rock and Roll Racing, it was coded by Berger Becky, and it has, I think, some of the best sound in all of SNES, which says a lot. Some great classic rock hits in there that she did really well. I mean, I can't believe how good that is. So good it could be taken down.
Now, I was going to go on a tangent and defend the Make My Video games as actually being a good concept. But I'll save that for another time. Like, if there was, like, an online version of that game where you could, like, post the results of your video to, you know, TikTok or YouTube or whatever, mm-hmm. that would be a massive hit. Are you familiar with the premise of Make My Video?
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking, isn't that kind of... Oh, I see what you're saying. I almost thought, like, well, TikTok is kind of that, but it's not.
No, no. So what is Make My Video is it has, like, multiple video streams. So it plays the song. So you're listening to Good Vibrations, let's say, if you remember that song, for lack of a better description. And you have, like, three screens of video going. And while the song's playing, you pick which screen is going to be used during that part of the song. So you're a video editor. And then at the end, it plays back the video you created with like whatever kind of, you know, scene changes you did and that kind of stuff. Right.
Yeah.
So it's not a real deep game. Right. I mean, like you're going to play it once or twice and then be like, okay, I made kind of a fun video. Now I'm going to throw this in the trash. Right. But if you had that on TikTok or YouTube or something, I think it would be a big hit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. Like we're going to film this, who's a popular singer these days? Who's popular with the kids?
Let's go with Taylor Swift.
Okay. Right. So Taylor Swift is releasing a new video and they're going to film it like five different camera angles or five different scenes. Like she's on a beach or on a tree stump in the forest or wherever she does her videos. I don't think I've seen a Taylor Swift video.
Yeah.
And then you're basically flipping between those. And then the final product people would watch. Like, I think people would be into that.
Oh, totally. Yeah. What were we talking about? Oh, Rock and Roll Racing.
Rock and Roll Racing. Now we can go on the next one here. Wait.
One last thing on that I wanted to touch on. They actually made generic music. If you want to stream it, there's a generic music option now.
Or you just turn the volume down on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah. What is our next item?
I feel like this was released before, but it's a Mortal Kombat arcade cabinet by, this is Arcade 1-Up. So these are the kind of like not full size arcade cabinets. But it's a new model with Mortal Kombat 1, 2, 3, and a bunch of other games. Actually, it's a decent selection. Joust, Defender, Rampage, Gauntlet, but it's only two players. Paperboy, Tapper, Bubbles, Tubin, and Wizard of War.
Yeah, what do you think of this one?
I don't want a cabinet that is two-player Rampage or Gauntlet. Like, that doesn't sound good.
I could see that. It's $400. I agree with you. It feels like we talked about this one before, but the article is new. I double-checked that because I was like, did this happen?
Yeah, so I think they released a Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3 without all these other games on it.
Okay. I never realized before, but That yeah, the button layout they have there is perfect for Tubin, and I love that game. That is going to be a Game Club game this year.
Okay.
I don't. Yeah, Rampage, not two player. Paperboy without the control panel from the arcade.
It's actually an improvement.
But it takes away of the actual arcade experience, though.
Yeah, I know. But I like the NES version of Paperboy way better than the arcade version.
Oh, same, yeah. And if you look on eBay, for those a replacement control panel for Paperboy, it's crazy how expensive they are now.
Yeah. Now, Tubin, I assume, would have to be a summer pick, right? Because that's a very summer-themed game.
Oh, totally. Yeah, end of spring, early summer, absolutely. I love that game. I'm not very good at it.
I don't think anyone's good at it.
If you watch, what speedrunner? I think I was watching Arcus. I think he sped run. Is that a word?
Okay.
Wow. yeah, it. Those guys make it look easy. You ready for some dumb news?
Yeah, this is the dumbest news of the week. Frogger is coming to the Peacock streaming service as a game show. I assume this is going to be like a Wipeout clone.
I don't know. Are they going to be trying to run people over with cars or what?
I don't know if we've devolved that much as a society that we can actually just run over people with a car now.
It's being filmed in Australia, so I hope some of our listeners down there partake in this. Maybe there'll be some contestants. What would be even better is that since... you drive on the different side of the road in Australia than America. Get some Americans to be contestants. They will not do very well at all.
Yeah.
Will they be jumping on lily pads? What? Yeah. What is going on there?
Yeah. It sounds like Wipeout. It really does. You've seen Wipeout, I assume.
Yeah. Well, I've seen clips of Wipeout. Yeah. Okay. Mostly the parts where people get severely injured.
Yeah. Didn't someone die? Like, they're doing a reboot and with John Cena hosting and the contestant got killed.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. That was on Pro Wrestling News, so I'm not sure if it's real or not, but that episode probably won't air.
What other stupid games can they make into shows like this? Like,
I see most of my picks are really obscure. Like, I'm thinking Sewer Sam. You're literally running through a sewer where submarines attack you and also crocodiles or alligators.
That's funny. That's a good listener question. Maybe Zach can ask what video games need to be game shows? Email at retrogameclub.net.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the ones I'm coming up with are like really horrific, you know, you know, like I would essentially put you in Manhunt or something.
Paperboy, you could throw papers through people's windows and stuff and have to run away from a lawnmower and a dog.
And do a dog and a tornado and literally death.
Yes.
You could do all that, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of really bad possibilities out there.
Yes.
Real life Dig Dug would be certainly a good one. Since we just talked about that.
Yeah. Oh, this is a video I posted from about 2 weeks ago. This is the Open Tendo, and it's this person, Long Island Retro Gaming is the YouTube channel. And he ordered one of these, and he had a broken NES, and he shows you how to put it all together. And so what the Open Tendo is, it's just a new PC board for the NES, but it doesn't have any of the chips on it. So he also gives you the list of all the chips you need to buy, you know, and if you have a broken Nintendo, how to pull out the PPU and the CPU and put it in this little motherboard type device. And looked great. Looked awesome.
Yeah. Now, the boards are only $15, but they are currently sold out. But this company, I mean, they have Genesis, Super Nintendo, I saw Dreamcast components. So, geez, there's a whole bunch of different things you can build. I never really thought you could just buy like a motherboard for one of these.
Yeah, this might be a great topic of the episode sometime. even though none of us are really good at soldering.
Yeah. Well, we could. What country are these guys in? They want to come on do an ad for their service here.
Yeah, that'd be a good interview.
I guess if you just want to buy like shells, like you want to make your own Nintendo games, it's like $350 a piece to get shells.
That is, which really seems cool.
Like a fair price.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Where are we? SD card interface for Commodore Amiga. I think I posted this one. Because it's from vintageisthenewold.com. And this is a thing you can plug into your Amiga that emulates a disk drive, but you put in an SD card.
Yeah, right into the parallel port.
Yeah. Right into the port where you would put a second drive. So the Amiga, I'm thinking of the Amiga 500, like it has a built-in disk drive. Mm-hmm. And then you can cable in a second one. If you want to, whatever. If you need, for whatever reason, you need a second disk drive, right? But this, plugs right in the same slot. But now you're booting up an SD card. A lot of spare space on the SD card, because I think it's just booting it like it's a disk.
Yeah, that's really cool. That could definitely be useful. And how much is this thing? It can't be too much. 35 euros plus shipping.
Yeah.
It looks like a pretty solid device.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks good.
Did you post this next one too?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes. So this is a guide. You probably have to click translate in Google. But it's a guide on how to build a cart reader and cart reader software for the Master System. It's in French. So if that's a problem for you, click translate in Google Translate. French to English, I think Google does better than they do Japanese to English for sure. And it's both how to do the hardware to do one of these cart readers, but then also how to write the code to dump the cart.
I just noticed something. There's an English button there. There's a French flag and a British flag.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that has like a better translation than Google even.
So sorry, what is this? Can you copy the ROM, or you could
It's both the hardware and software side of how to dump a to make a cart reader for the Sega Master System.
Very cool. It's the second cart reader of the episode.
It is, yeah. But this is like extreme do-it-yourself, because you're, like I said, you're doing everything, man. You're writing the code and building the hardware.
Yeah, definitely a project.
And then, let's see, Analog says they are going to make more pockets, and it's not just all going to go to scalpers, which I totally believe.
Yeah, what did they sell out in a few minutes last time?
Yes. So I don't know what their bot protection is going to be, but
I would love one of these things.
Yeah, it could be, click on all pictures of trees or something, which I fail regularly.
But, so this is the Analog Pocket. And if people don't remember, this is a $200 device that plays Neo Geo Pocket Color, Lynx, Game Gear, Game Boy Color, Advanced. And you could get a little add-on adapter to play TurboGrafx. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I was definitely going to buy one of these along with the Lynx and Game Gear adapters for sure, because I have a lot of Lynx and Game Gear games. I should admit that. Well, Game Gear games are cheap, I guess, so that's fine to admit, but probably have a dozen Lynx games.
That's a lot for Lynx. I mean, that's probably more than there are good games to play on Lynx.
Oh, yeah. Most of my Lynx games are not very good.
But it also has a... an HDMI adapter, so you could plug that in. I guess
I would never use that. This is really for me to like play Game Gear games on the couch or airplane or something.
Totally, yeah.
Look cool, yeah. Look cool, playing some Sonic 2. Some of the Sonic games on Game Gear are actually pretty good.
Oh, totally, yeah. They're very impressive.
But the Lynx is just—it's like I have the Lynx I have. The screen works. The Lynx screen was never really awesome, really. It's not a great picture out of it to begin with. Mm-hmm. And you have to play it plugged in. they give you an AC adapter. The Lynx comes with an AC adapter that has like a 6-foot long cable, because I think they know.
Right? It's not actually portable.
Yeah.
At most, you could plug it into like a cigar lighter in a car or something.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. Don't run the AC at the same time, though. I don't know if the car can handle.
Yeah.
The Lynx and the AC.
And we're ending with some more analog news. The Super NT, which is their SNES device, FPGA device, just had a 5.0 firmware update, which just has a lot of quality of life updates. You know, it makes like the HDMI recognize faster and stuff like that. It fixes some scanline issues and fixes bugs in Final Fantasy III, also known as 6, and Final Fantasy V.
And very importantly, they also have this Genesis update that fixes Spider-Man Web of Fire for 32X, which apparently did not work.
Yeah, on the Mega SG, what else do they update here? Because the 4.8 update, yeah, just a lot of, oh, so a lot of Sega CD issues they fix, more HDMI scanline stuff. And yeah, so if you have any of those devices, definitely pick that up. Oh, most importantly, it fixes EverDrives if you plug it into the Mega SG. I'm sure a lot of people use it for that. And that's the news.
That is it. Yes.
We got some Game Club. Wanna do yours first? I think it's a bit simpler than mine.
Yeah, so I picked Side Pocket, which is a pool game. I usually play this on the Genesis, so this time I decided to play it on the NES. And the NES version was really not that different than the Genesis version. I mean, the graphics are maybe not as colorful, but mechanically, it doesn't really feel like a different game at all. And has most of the same game modes. It doesn't have like the same, like, the cutscenes aren't as nice looking, which, who cares? But that's not why I usually play Side Pocket, because I want to see great cutscenes. But it's, you know, basic pool game. You play against yourself. You can play against the second player. I'm usually playing the single player mode, because it's like, to me, it's like playing, you know, Minesweeper or something. You know, like, you just sit down, play a round of pool, and that's that. It's pretty easy to control. I know there's a bunch of other versions. I didn't play the others. I've only really played the Genesis and NES one. Did not go after the Game Boy version. Maybe that's good. I'm kind of curious, but I didn't try it. But yeah, just kind of a nice little relaxing game. I don't know. What did you think?
I thought the same thing. Yeah, it looks great. It sounds great. It plays as well as any other, you know, pool game. I like the parts where you had to... what was the one? You have to, like, shoot the ball without breaking wine glasses that are on the pool table, stuff like that. I thought that was pretty interesting. But yeah, it was really relaxing, especially after playing like Ys or Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah, it's really chilled out. Why did you pick that one? Is that one you own?
I think I was just in the mood for something, you know, relaxing, you know, I'd done Bust a Move before. I've done other puzzle games. I've done Dr. Mario. I just kind of wanted a simple little puzzle game. And I know it's not actually a puzzle game, but it's like a puzzle game.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah, no other motivation. Yeah. You know? Seems like something, if you had a pool table, you'd be using it a lot right now.
Yeah. It's funny. I have all these arcade cabs around me, and we're working from home, and I have almost no place to work at home. And I keep looking around these arcade cabs. I'm like, these made sense when I used to be able to have people over.
Right.
Them being all alone is so sad. So hopefully soon people will be coming back over. Let's jump on mine, I guess.
Yeah. Let's go.
Twinkle Star Sprites. on the Neo Geo, anything, AES or MVS. This is a top-down shooter puzzle game, kinda. To me, it looks a lot like Bus a Move, and it's side by side. You know, your opponent is next to you, just like in Bus a Move, and you play a, I guess, witch-like, cute 'em up character, kind of like Cotton, and it's so hard to explain. Like, these little, you know, guys are coming at you. You have to shoot them. And if you don't shoot them and your opponent shoots more, then things get shot over to you, kind of like in Bust a Move when your opponent's doing very well and your screen's filling up. Well, this is just more stuff flying at you. You have a charge shot. You have a bomb that makes you invincible for a second and kind of wipes the screen clean. And this is not a relaxing game at all, but it is very, very fun. The problem is that it's very, very fun with two people. I have this on the Switch, and there's no online multiplayer, which I was really surprised at. I only have one Switch here, or I would have checked if it had local multiplayer, but I don't know if it does. I think it does on a single Switch. I think you can, you know, use two different controllers and play. But anyway, I thought I was good at this game, but I'm not. Maybe the people I played against weren't very good. Against the computer, I'm horrible. But you charged up your shot, you shoot. The more things you get at once, the more you send over to the other side. It's more complicated than that. Let's just say that. There's a lot of little nuances to this game. That this is a game that is really easy to pick up, but I think really difficult to master. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else. It released in 1996. Like I said, I have it on the Switch. It was originally on Neo Geo, but it was also ported to Dreamcast and I think PS2 and a few other things. Oh, Wii Virtual Console, I see it here for. I really recommend this game. It's embarrassing that when you're on a podcast and it's hard to find words to describe something. You know what I mean? Did you get a chance to pick this one up at all?
Yeah, I did. And I don't know. I had a hard time getting into it. I think you really do have to play it with two players. Like, I did not really... I mean, I understood that it would be a fun game with two players. And I think single player is not very good. You're not getting the experience you're supposed to have for that game.
I definitely agree. Yeah, it's definitely meant to be a multiplayer game where... Can you see why I compare it to Bust a Move, where it kind of everything up the same way?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know, as you shoot things, you may send more things to your opponent's screen, right? And the color palette is very similar to Bust a Move.
And the audio palette. And the
characters are a little bit too, right? So it yes. does look like it. Obviously, it plays nothing. It's a completely different play style. I think you have to have two players for this. I just don't think... I don't think it was ever meant to be played one player.
Exactly, yeah. And, the backgrounds are beautiful. The thing is Bust a Move, I think, had more fair AI. Where in this, maybe I'm just not good at this game. I kept getting destroyed by the opponent, the fake opponent.
I agree. Maybe if I played it more, I would be able to outsmart the computer a little better. But yeah, my first impression was the computer AI was probably too strong for a beginner.
I definitely agree. And this is a game that was not reviewed very well back then, but is very well regarded now. It's funny, I have the Wikipedia open now, and it explains, you know, the gameplay. But again, I'm not just going to read this out loud to you guys. It's hard to put into words exactly what you're doing without making it sound boring. But it is, I do think it's a really fun, action-packed, puzzle-y game. just play with a friend. Yeah. And let's see, did I have any notes here? Oh yeah, so you could get it for about $6 on Switch. If you find a PS2 disc, that's about $70, you know, kind of a collector's item. For an AES Neo Geo cartridge, it's about $1,400. Crazy town. And one of the head programmers, there's only a few guys that worked on this. He worked on Smash Brothers Ultimate for Switch, and he helped with the TurboGrafx Mini. I thought it was a little piece of trivia to throw your way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
So, yeah, that's about all I have to say about that one. It sounds like I'm down on it, but I do really like this game. I just apparently need more friends or something. Or again, for people to be able to come back over to my house.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely, you know, I'm not playing a lot of two-player games right now, but if I do, they're usually with my kids, and that, you know, changes what you're going to play a lot.
Yeah, yeah. What are you going to play next?
You know what? I was inspired by a news article. I'm going to play Frogger.
Nice. Yes. I almost thought we had that one before, but you had Frogger 2 last time.
I had Frogger 2, yeah, a while ago.
All right, I'm going to do Star Fox on SNES. And if any listeners play any of these games or has a better way to describe Twinkle Star Sprites, email at retrogameclub.net. That is email at retrogameclub.net, or on Facebook, facebook.retrogameclub.net, or Twitter at RGCPodcast. And we have a few emails here this time. I'll take the first one from Ross. He points out we had a Zero Wing conversation last time about All Your Base. And he points out that there never really was a USA release other than the Retrobit release a few years ago. And any USA one you see is just a repro on eBay. And that meme came from the UK PAL version, which was translated from the Japanese version. And fun fact, they didn't even tweak the PAL timing. So you can play the Japanese or UK versions on the USA Genesis. That's funny.
Okay, wow.
And yeah, that's pretty cool. Ross, thanks for that email. I'll go ahead and take this next one too.
Okay.
So Stanley writes in, really dogging on the game.com conversation. He just says it's horrible, which it probably is. If you really want to get a newfound appreciation for ET on the 2600, then play Resident Evil on game.com. He said he'd rather play ET Metal Slug 3D on PS2, tic-tac-toe by yourself with pencil and paper, or just stare at a puddle of water.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I may have to try this now that I think that game was expensive. I think the arcade, the Williams Arcade Collection, was like $10. I think Resident Evil was a lot more.
I had no idea Resident Evil was on there. That's wild.
They have, so the game.com has some, like, it has some big licenses that you would not expect.
What company was it made by, or was it just made by game.com?
No, it was, of course I put the box away. I want to say it was there was some other company behind it. Hold on. Yeah, it was Tiger. It was Tiger Electronics, right? That, so they're a big name.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And, yeah, so they had a port of Duke Nukem 3D. They have Fighters Mega Mix. So it's a Sega license. A lot of arcade classics, Frogger, of course, which I just mentioned. We mentioned earlier in the show, Centipede, Mortal Kombat Trilogy, Resident Evil 2, Sonic Jam. This is just licensed games I'm talking about here. But yeah,
so pretty decent. If you've library. Never seen game.com, after hearing that list, it's like, I got to get this system. That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. It only had about 20 games made total. Mm. But they're not good versions. That's the problem. They're just not. Yeah. They sound like it all sounds great on paper, but it's actually terrible.
Yeah. Well, Stanley goes on to say that the William Classics Collection and Lights Out are probably the best games, but that's not saying much. You can check your email on it on its 14.4 baud modem, but like even back then, why would you do that? And then
yeah, that was slow for the time. I mean, I don't have a phone line, so I don't even know how that would work.
Yeah. Yeah. And he goes on to say, kind of something Stan and I have in common. He kind of always picked up the underdog systems. Some of them really bad. TurboGrafx, Virtual Boy, Game.com, R-Zone, Saturn, Jaguar, Dreamcast. You know, he did have, you know, the big guys like NES, SNES, and PS1 and 2. So it was not all doomed. And he did enjoy some of those systems. It's just not the R-Zone or Game.com.
So I assume I assume right now he owns a Stadia and probably like an Atari VCS.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Probably. That's pretty much my lineup now. Oh, and by the way, they shipped my Atari VCS controller.
Oh, so you can play it now.
They shipped it. We'll see when it actually arrives. Who knows where it's coming from?
Yeah. Or... when you ask who knows, that includes Atari.
Like, exactly. Yeah, oh, yeah.
We don't know where these controllers come from.
Yeah.
All right. Majors writes in, I guess we talked about nobody buying physical CDs anymore. And he's speculating that collectors, of course, are still going to buy physical CDs whenever they can, which is probably true. I mean, I still buy physical releases of new games. I don't really... Music-wise, I don't think I'll ever buy a music CD again. I think that's a real good possibility. Mm-hmm. Again, unless it's something like if I knew the person that recorded it personally and I owed them a favor. That's about the only scenario I can come up with. And Sega Naomi we talked about, in that we talked about being cartridge-based, but it also had GD-ROM support.
Uh-huh.
So you could basically play something similar to Dreamcast on it.
Uh-huh.
Fake game, Global Thermal Nuclear War. Wants to know if we remember a game called Global Domination, released by Psygnosis in 1998. It was an RTS game that is like a reimagined version of Global Thermal Nuclear War. And I do not know this game.
I know the name, but... That seems like a late release for something like that, so I'm definitely going to have to look that up again.
So this would have been PC or Dreamcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Sig... Oh, I can't spell Psygnosis, so who knows what I'm going to get out of the Google here. I'm just trying to look at some pictures here. Oh, okay. I mean, I recognize the box now, but that's as much as I recognize. Nope, definitely did not play this. What else? My kids, hippie school and their, rummage sale that they have every year. he mentions back in high school, there was an annual school rummage sale. This was a Catholic high school, it was a private school. And at the end of the day, they would offer a $5 bag where you could take anything that you could fit into a normal grocery store brown paper bag. And he scored a Fairchild Channel F with some games at that. That is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that is awesome.
That's one of the greatest rummage sale finds of all time, really. Missing out on that. And comment about listening to the show Beer Enhanced.
Oh, yeah, because you sent me the last topic idea via text, Beer Enhanced.
Oh, that's right. I remember now. yes. That's why I said, don't take any topic ideas I send after 10 p.m. Don't take them seriously. I would say between 10 p.m. and like 7 a.m. Just don't take anything I say seriously. Well, thank you. And we got one more email? I can get it. Doesn't matter.
Okay, cool.
Because I'm already on the page. So this is from Joe, and it's just commenting how crazy it is that the All Your Base meme is 20 years old now. And he's very surprised how quickly it caught on, being a game that was not in North America. And just reminding us, I think we talked about this a couple episodes ago, that you can buy a reproduction cartridge now from Retrobit, if you were so inclined. He liked the fictional games topic. His favorite fake game is Toasters and Chainsaws. yes. Some guy working at the American branch of Tidal liked to mess with people and came up with a fake game complete with a marquee that he showed to a reporter.
That's incredible. Yes.
And the game that's actually being shown in the footage is Wild Western. And then he mentions playing Carmen Sandiego in computer class on the Commodore 64, and the teacher would put it on a projector screen. So this was like an official assignment.
It sounds like a great class.
Yeah, and that's how he learned what the word spelunking meant. There you go.
That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Joe Majors, Stanley, and Ross. We got some social media. Official games. Someone writes in saying all those bizarre games from the early Simpsons episodes. And yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot all about those.
Yeah, a lot of those.
Franchise Resurrections. Oh yeah, we had an article about that, I think. Robert must have had a very similar upbringing as me, because he says Falcon and Gunship, which are two games that I played a lot as a kid. And yeah, those have not been around for a while. Advance Wars, Comic Zone, Phantasy Star, not online, F-Zero, Rogue Squadron, Super Star Wars, Pilot Wings.
The suggestions include Jazz Jackrabbit, Adventure Island / Wonder Boy, Panzer Dragoon, Twisted Metal, Beautiful Joe, Castlevania, Primal Rage, X-Men Legends, and then the lesser-known Strike series. The Strike series had a pretty good run, but yeah, it kind of fizzled out. Yeah.
The only one I'd say no to is Primal Rage. Other than that, sequel would have been great. The one that's at Galvin's Ghost is much better than the original.
Yeah, I actually really like that one.
The original game, I love the idea of, but after 5 minutes, I stopped playing.
Yeah, I did not like the original Primal Rage.
It looks great though. Lot of people say they love themselves some Twinkle Star Sprites.
Yeah.
Rick, Domingo, Joe, Robert, Sangre. Mm. Yeah. A lot of people love this game. Oh, and he has it on Xbox One too. So I did not know that it was on there. And what else? French Pet sends us his... Oh, we are talking about first video game experiences, or maybe Zach asked the question. I can't remember, but...
No, this was a... I think this is in regards to NBA Jam, but for different style games. And we talked about Hit the Ice.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
So he has a photo from a smaller... It looks like it's a... It looks like it's an arcade that is probably part of something bigger. Next to a, Hit the Ice machine.
Yeah, and it looks like he's also wearing a hockey t-shirt, too. Not a jersey, but a hockey t-shirt.
Yeah.
Or that's Jason from Friday the 13th. Either way, cool.
Yeah, I can't tell. I mean, it's a very... First of all, I'm surprised there's a digital copy of this photo, you know.
Yeah, from 93.
I don't think I have any old photos of being in the arcade.
No, I don't think I do either. Of you in the arcade.
I don't know who would have been taking that. Yes, or I don't know who'd be taking the photo.
That's the scary part. Someone might have photos of you in the arcade.
Yes, I suppose so. Like they got a room in their house with like there's not lighting, but they have like a cork board. You know, like in the murder mystery shows.
Yeah. Or like a shrine, yeah.
Yeah. That's something really good to think about there.
Yeah, well, if anyone has weird photos of you or plays any retro games like Twinkle Star Sprites, Side Pocket, Star Fox, Frogger, Have any cool retro projects? Have any cool topic ideas? Just want to talk about retro stuff? Email us, please. Email at retrogameclub.net or on Facebook or at RGC Podcast on Twitter. Please. We love all this feedback. So thank you guys for writing us in this time. Hopefully we'll have some topics for some future episodes.
Yes. Yeah.
And oh yeah. And I'm about to go watch Playing with Power. So everyone should do that too and tell me what they think.
I am not going to watch TV, but I'm going to do something next. I don't know what.
Something hopefully video game related.
Possibly. Yeah. Possibly. I was actually working on this like monitoring dashboard because that's stuff. That's how sad it is, you know, in winter here in this part of the country sometimes. It's like, man, I'm really bored. I think I'll just work more.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been there.
I think I'd like to have a dashboard that monitors this arbitrary thing at work. I guess I'll go figure out how to do that. That's what I'm going to probably be doing tonight.
Nice. Cool. I guess that wraps it up.
Yeah. So thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you.